This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Here's a story that's 100% true. And it's about how accounting is a great choice of career. Here's the facts.
With accounting, you'll have flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets, and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community.
Want to start an exciting new chapter? Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom.
Do more. Live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable. This episode, Barbarous Bob fruits the big question, talks ET voyeurs, quantum crackery, and synthetic servers. Macrocosmic Mark shows his liquids, praises the priests of Mars, and goes deep into dark holes. Welcoming Wade, the true glue of his group, could be Truman or a pea person. From career fairs to demystifying reality, yes, it's time for We Are the Main Character. Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, probably your favorite show, definitely your favorite pastime, and hopefully not your favorite thing to listen to while driving. This is Distractable, where the points are carefully tracked and matter as much as they always have. According to the bylaws and or constitution of the show, we now have to do that. And I do, you know what, I didn't even get it out in preparation for beta. I do have my notebook. This is my official judge's notebook, where I take my official judgy notes. But before we get into the part that counts for points, actually, that's not true. This could count for points, too. We traditionally do small talk. Do my job for me.
Me!
It's like Wade wants to go first.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. So I recently got to go to a high school career day. Well, not high school. I guess it was not high school. It was third to sixth grade, which I don't know what that's called. It's not elementary school, but maybe it's middle school. But I got to go to a career day. I had a classmate of ours that invited me to go down. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I talked to probably 100 kids or so, somewhere in that range, maybe 200. I don't know how many it was. It was a lot. I brought in one of the Your Welcome posters, and I brought in some of our Distractable figurines just to have something to display on the case, because like everyone, they were like, oh, bring in some posters of what you do, bring it. And I was like, I guess I've got some of that stuff.
Posters?
Yeah, I don't know, I guess for some of the career days.
We have one of the few jobs that actually we would have a poster of what we do. Who kind of a businessman has a poster?
Well, so I think what they meant was like, so the tables, like a lot of the companies had like Duke Energy was there. They had like the tablecloth that had like their branding on it. And then they had like different things on their table. They gave away like cups that had like the Duke Energy label and stuff on there. So they had like branded things, because not all, you know, companies, I guess, do this more often. They go to like different career days and different things, different events. So they've got like displays to be like, this is what we are. Whereas me, it was like, I guess I could bring my like half empty bottle of water, a pair of underwear, and a mouse and keyboard. But
that's
like,
not good. That's not good. Minus one.
I brought in the poster and I brought in some of our figurines. The kids came up and they were like, oh my God, you're a YouTuber? And like all of them, I asked them what they wanted to do. Like, I want to be a YouTuber. There were two that had like interesting things. There was one that was like,
they had interesting things.
Damn.
It was all like, well, you know, it was all like YouTuber or like.
Harsh, man.
It was all very, it was bad. It was our good job. Don't do that. It was terrible.
I like my job. Wait, what?
Never in my life had I heard someone say they want to be a professional billiards player. That was fascinating. That was a fascinating answer.
Okay, that is bold. That's bold. I do like that.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, my dad has this thing. We go and play billiards. And he was telling me the different types of like billiards you can play. Something like 9-ball versus 8-ball, which I already knew. But like, you know, I let him explain it to me because he was whatever, like 9 or 10 years old. And he was passionate about it. It was just interesting seeing a kid that passionate about playing pool. Yeah, everyone came up. They're like, you're a YouTuber? I was like, yeah. They're like, what games do you play? And I was like, oh, you know, lately I've been playing like Lethal Company. I've played some Phasmophobia. I've played Garry's Mod, Rust. I've played all these games over the years. And they're like, Fortnite? I mean, I've played Fortnite. Yeah, I've played a couple times.
Do you crank 90s?
As soon as I said I didn't play Fortnite regularly, 95% of them, done. Mark, there were, so with you, I had our posters, our figurine. I would say, Mark, 15% of them recognized you, but 85% of these kids, it was Fortnite, Call of Duty, or don't give a shit. So I just want you to know that our communities are growing up and getting older,
Good.
We no longer have the market on third to sixth grade.
Dude, you just said I got 15% recognizability. That's a fucking... You know how much that is?
If it was... So you got recognized obviously more than I did or Bob did. Some people knew who all three of us were. I would still say it was less than I expected because typically whenever we go out, like a lot of people know who you are and especially like gaming, people in the gaming sphere.
15% of the human population is a billion people.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting example, right? Because when we go to a... like a PAX or something. People go to PAX because they are fans of people like us or things that we do, even if they don't know who we are. You were at a normal career fair that was just generally people, kids, but you were the YouTuber at the fair. So you probably had a higher occurrence of people, kids who know about YouTube or whatever. That is pretty high.
For people that were so obsessed with gaming and YouTubers in general, it was just interesting. Because I don't know, like, I don't know if streaming's bigger than video games on YouTube. I don't really know the layout of the land. I don't keep track of it anymore. But you're still one of, like, the largest gaming creators as far as, like, subs and stuff, right? Like, you're still up there.
That's me, baby!
So for all these people to be obsessed with YouTubers and only be able to name the same three, like, Fortnite creators was like, oh no, the Fortnite genre has ruined an entire generation of children.
Can you remember who they said? I am curious. Was it all like Nick A30 or something?
One common name, I think it was something like Sweat or Sweet or something like that.
Someone literally named Sweat?
I think so. I might be wrong. But like they would talk to me about Fortnite creators and I was kind of like, kid, as bored as you are with what I do, I'm more bored about you talking to me about Fortnite.
I hope you said that.
I did in my head and probably with my eyes. I mean, they were cool. They were fun. It was fun to talk to them and tell them stuff. It's weird because like I caution people, I'm like, if you guys want to do like what we do, like anyone can do it, but maybe treat it as a hobby. Don't go all in and think like, I don't need an education. I'm just going to play video games. It's like, maybe, you know, have some backup plans just in case, because it's hard to make money. I think only like the top whatever percent actually make a career's worth of income from doing this. So you could do it, but like you can also play basketball without thinking you're going to make the NBA. Like you can just have a fun hobby that maybe takes off and becomes a job.
Yeah, I recommend TikTok to people more nowadays. Not that you can't start with YouTube, but TikTok barrier to entry is a lot easier because the standard for quality of YouTube videos is higher, generally speaking. But with TikTok, like the level of quality is phone recordings and phone editing, and it's great. That's great to get started into it. So oftentimes I find myself recommending that more. Or YouTube Shorts. Right, guys?
But third to sixth grade, I just encourage. I was like, you know what? Do it. Go for it. Like, I wasn't going to bust a bunch of bubbles for third to sixth graders. It was like, you guys want to be a YouTuber, you go for it. When they're older, they want to do it. That's when I give the right advice.
I mean, it sounds like you just shat all over them. You said there's two people that like YouTubers and all these other interesting kids with actual careers that they were going for. And then, oh, yeah, fuck you, kid. You don't know who you like Fortnite. Fuck you.
In my head, man, by the end of the day, I was like, they really need a Fortnite creator in here because, like, God, they don't care about... Like, they don't know any of the games I'm talking about. Because Gary's Mom is such a big one, but I mean, that was 10 years ago. So someone's 10 years old now, they're like, what is that? And it's like...
I mean, I hadn't thought of Gary's Mom until you mentioned it.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've loaded Gary's Mod for any particular reason. It's been a minute.
I mean, that's fair. It's just that's such a big part of our content creation history as the three of us.
That's the past. We're getting older.
True. But like, I thought Lethal Company was huge right now, and I think it is, but like that, a lot of them have never heard of that, which is, you know, they're younger, so that's fair.
Compared to Fortnite, that's just the thing about what is actually popular and the numerical differences between Lethal Company is popular like among Star Circle and the people that watch this type of content, but it is like a horror-based horror is a sub-genre of gaming, whereas like Fortnite was big that it was almost all encompassing of gaming. Like everyone who played a game knew about Fortnite. That was how big it was.
Oh, I get it. It's just hard for me to relate because I didn't play a lot of it. And these kids are, I mean, Call of Duty, sure, and Battlefield, some of those they talked about, but like...
Yeah, those have been around long enough that they have legacy names, yeah.
So Fortnite was the big one that a lot of them knew about, but like, I don't know, it was just, it was interesting getting that perspective because like, we have our thoughts about nostalgia of our childhood gamings and stuff, and it's like, for these kids, Fortnite is and was their childhood. And that's like, I hadn't wrapped my head around that until like meeting all of them.
Mark, how are you?
Yeah, in non-gaming news, this nerd over here taking up all our time. I got something to show you. That's the kind of news that I got. Editors, hit the music. What if we're all living in a simulation? I turned around and it was water? So you ate a hot dog? No, it was simulations. All right, anyway, is that good enough? Editors, make that into a good thing.
I don't think they speak Mark. I don't know if that's... I'd love to see what... I will enjoy seeing what that turns into.
Anyway, look at this! Look at it!
Are they making a chili cheese coney?
Yeah, is that ketchup or blood or chili?
It looks very diarrhea-y, but like kind of chili can too.
I can tell you're not impressed. Watch this.
Oh, cool.
Okay, it's filling up. Why are they pouring such wet liquid over their macaroni?
Well, you know, they just... All right, how about this?
That's pretty cool, I think. Mark, I don't know if Wade and I have the technical knowledge or skills to appreciate what you're trying to show us right now. Listeners who aren't watching, there's a bunch of liquids, like, gooshing all over a bunch of random shit.
The splash... Okay, I didn't appreciate the splash. Seeing the splash, that's pretty cool.
I started with the bad examples. He was goofing on this live stream towards the end. So I've been following this for, like, a couple weeks now, because this is actually an exciting new development in terms of, like, physical simulations. I'm sure all of you guys have seen physical simulation videos where it's, like, the bread ripping apart or fluid physics or ocean waves, and it's fun because it's, like, cool to see, and it's like, wow, that's really cool. This is real time. This is playing not pre-baked, not pre-rendered. This is he's changing the parameters on the fly and being able to create these liquid simulations. And the thing about it is you might be like, OK, but it looks like blocky and stuff. But the thing is, you can take that data, fine tune the look of it, then simulate it to have realistic lighting afterwards. So what it does is it allows a lot more iterations to occur to fine tune it. Whereas like with liquid simulations, and given that like iron lung, a lot of blood, most of it's practical. Occasionally we'll need a little bit of liquid sims. So I'm starting to know more about this. And what it means is that you can iterate upon your liquid simulations and physical simulations a lot faster, but also from a technological standpoint, the ability to do real time liquid simulations is such a fascinating new thing because you've got liquid sims in games.
These last few were so much like that. That's awesome to watch the water on that move.
I know. Yeah. I said, this is the beginning of the live stream. I went to the end where he was shitposting just with random bullshit.
Yeah. I was gonna say the chili dog was kind of like, oh, that's so cool, man.
Oh no, he started with mac and cheese. He started with it. Ah!
Oh, okay. Ew.
I love simulations and I love seeing technology, kind of that part of like watching gaming tech demos where you're like, oh, the technology is progressing. This is a big leap. Some engines can do real time, you know, liquid sim. Obviously, it's trying to render at the same time. It's pixelated and going slower if you do the high fidelity rendering. I don't know why Henry and Chica are barking. There's probably a delivery, but it's okay. But you can see the ability to do this real time. Computer hardware has advanced. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, AI is so incredible. This is not AI based. This is, I don't know, maybe it's got some neural network stuff in there, but it's able to do this live. And like, that means that this technology is starting to get to the point where your games nowadays, games will be able to have like incredibly realistic water. There's Sea of Thieves has like a really nice ocean. It looks beautiful, but it can't do these big like splashes that are physically accurate. Like imagine if...
No, it's like a stylized ocean still. It's beautiful because it's artistic, not because it's accurate.
Absolutely. But imagine if water, like your boat tipped to the side in a storm, water splashed up and pushed you off the ship. Like that's the kind of level of interaction that can occur in it if it can be done in real time like this. And those are the kind of things that like open up the door for new experiences. Also in terms of like, you know, making movies, like the tools for people to be able to access them. And this guy probably has a great computer to do this. You probably still need a high-end computer. But the fact that you can do it at all, it's crazy. And what it's showing you is a lower frame rate than what it is. It actually is like smooth, but it's just like...
It also seems like he's experimenting with different... Is viscosity the right word? The like thickness of the liquid?
That's literally one of the parameters. He can tune the viscosity, like the stickiness.
Yeah, because it seems like some of these waters, I was like, okay, it looks a little thick. But then like we just saw the couple other examples where it's like, okay, that's water. But then the mac and cheese, like you definitely tell the cheese that was hitting differently than like the liquid mac soup.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the rendering can work for the caustics of it. You know, there's like you can get super clear fun stuff. You can render out stuff. So this is called LiquidGen, and it's by the same people that made EmberGen, which is a real-time explosion and smoke and fire simulation thing. So they extended it and were like, let's do liquid. Why are they still barking? I gotta see what this is. Yeah, they've been barking for a while. 1 second.
All right, yeah. What can we come up with here?
I'm also distracted by watching the water, green water flow.
What do you want? I feel like you got the best of the last deal. What can you give me?
Granted, you're the host too, so it's hard to... I think every time you're the host, this happens, where you're in the position of power.
Well, what can you offer me? I can offer you the win in this episode. Better talk fast.
Fuck, I don't know. What do you want? Something you want?
Okay.
Oh, hey, Mark. How's it going?
Hello. All right. There's a dumpster getting delivered, so they were...
Oh.
That was surprising for them. But anyway, So that's basically an interesting development that I thought was cool, because it's like, hey, technology that's not pure AI that's getting advanced. And I'm like, wow, that's fun to actually see.
I hope that it's not like too demanding to have something like that, because like some of the pirate games, like Skull and Bones just came out, Sea of Thieves, like with a massive amount of water that are in games that are all about being on water, I could see how that would be a problem trying to render that at all times. And I'm sure there's ways to do it localized, but like, I'm not a developer. I have no idea what goes into that kind of thing, but looks awesome.
I mean, usually it is too intensive. That's basically what it's been for a very long time. Like, Unreal Engine can do some very rudimentary liquid. You know, you've seen liquids in games, more AAA games and higher end ones that are able to do things. But yeah, just tech is still progressing. Like, things are still getting more powerful. Things are still getting more optimized. It's pretty cool. I like to see it. And these are the kind of things that I would like to see implementations of, like, neural network swords, because these are the kind of things that's like, okay, if you can basically, neural networks, the way they work now, are kind of a compression algorithm. They optimize things. And so you can optimize something by using pre-trained neural networks and pathways like that to replicate certain effects. And like, you can make these things a little bit easier for a certain hardware in some context. And like, it's kind of interesting. Not everything has to be pure math based when it can just be an approximation that is close. Sometimes an approximation that is close is exactly what you need for certain applications.
Good small talk, Mark.
Thanks.
And it wasn't even about a movie or lenses. It was kind of about the movie, but not directly, which I'm going to give you credit for. Very interesting. Also, Mark, you scared the shit out of me because I thought you were literally going to steal my topic for the episode or your small talk. I was going to introduce my topic the same way, the exact same phrase that you said at the beginning of your small talk.
What did I say?
We live in a simulation. So there are a lot of theories, and it's mainly philosophical theories, but there are a lot of theories about how life is a simulation. There are theories about how technology is clearly progressing to the point where theoretically simulating an entire universe on some sort of computational device is within reason, and some more advanced civilization could absolutely be doing that. The simulation hypothesis suggests that it might not even matter whether it is a simulation, that it's basically a simulation of our perception of what's happening, whether it's real. It's complicated, okay? All I know is it feels like we live in a simulation. There are just moments that happen where it's just like, oh, Mandy told me a story. She was traveling and she was in an airport. She was trying to find a quiet place to sit down to like have a sandwich or something before the flight. So she was like wandering down to the gates that are not currently getting used, right? There's always kind of like a quiet part of the airport you can go to unless it's insanely busy. And she wandered away and sat down and was like sitting there eating her food, whatever she had, and realized she looked up and realized that the thing in front of her, the gate in front of her, had flight information. And it sounded like it was to a city that was made up. It was a flight from a major metropolitan airport to a city that she had never heard of before. And she was like, it just felt like, oh, the simulation ran out of names, right? Like they went through all the big cities and then they were like, oh, just AI generate some more town names. Skilliamswinton Town, Wiflundberg. And as she was doing this, and she literally said, she was like, I'm not going to Google it. If it is a simulation, they'll just edit the Google so that it's on there. Like, it don't matter. And as she was like debating that internally, where she was like, life is a simulation, a person that she knew came from the wrong direction in the airport and walked up to her and initiated a conversation. Like, you know, in an airport, usually there's like a central part, right? And yep. As you go further out, you get to the edges. She was almost at the very end. And this person walked in from the end of the airport where there wasn't anything. There were no restaurants. There were other gates that were not being used. There was an empty stretch of gates at the airport. And this person just walked in and like walked into her peripheral vision and was like, Mandy? Hey! And like initiated, like it was sent there by the simulation to be like, stop having those thoughts. Interrupt her. And she told me the story because she was like, that's weird, right? Like, that's not any hard evidence of anything, but that's weird, right? And I feel like I've had experiences like that. And I want the topic to be, I want you guys to give me evidence, anecdotal or otherwise, empirical if you can find it, evidence that we do in fact live in a simulation. I want to hear your stories.
Never in Distractible history have more cars randomly veered off the road than at this very moment as the simulation desperately tries to rein in.
Tyler like half loads into the wall of all of our offices.
Yeah, well, oh!
If the power goes out, if one of our computers crashes, if the recording gets, you know, that's just more proof, okay? That will be proof of the truth.
So to start off, I just want to say, I often, in airports, go towards empty gates because no one's sitting there. I'm being disassociated. I started blurring real quick there. The simulation was like, he's defending the simulation.
Unfocus his eyes, quick!
So, basically, I could understand coming from that direction because I often go there because the seats are empty. Why would I go to the gate where I'm going to be at? I know when they're going to board. They're going to tell me I can sit in comfort alone with space at an empty gate, if there is one. So, I do see how that could be a possibility. Now, them coming and seeing them from behind and turn around and go like, oh, you know, who knows? Yeah, whatever. So I just want to throw that out first. Like, I could see that.
Mark, I'm going to give you a point for defending the simulation because that might mean that you're part of it, in which case I need to kiss a little less.
Our goal here is to prove we're in a simulation.
I would like you to give me all the evidence you can muster. If it's a story of a thing that happened to you, if it's experiences that you feel like you've seen, you could Google stuff. You can look at empirical. I mean, I don't know that there is any provably empirical evidence, but there are, if you look at the basic info that's out there about the fact that the idea that we live in a simulation, quantum indeterminacy is a very funny one. And I really like this as evidence. This is one I'm assuming you wouldn't have brought to me, so I'm going to throw this out as an initial one. Quantum indeterminacy is the fundamental randomness that's at the heart of quantum mechanics, where particles only exist in like a state of probability until they're observed, which basically means the universe exists, but until a thing is observed, it doesn't exist in a finite state, I think would be fair to say. And that's how like game engines work, right? That's how simulated worlds work. Oh, you only need to render the part that the players are actually interacting with. You don't render the entire world at all times. You render the part that the player can see. The fact that that's a part of our current understanding of like quantum physics and the universe, I feel like cuts really strongly in favor of, well, it's clearly a simulation because it works the same way as video games.
Or is the I don't know why I'm taking the stance of the simulation here. That's not as
okay. Mark's part of the simulation, Wade. We need to be careful.
Is it a spillover of like, that's how the universe works, therefore, of course, that's how our simulations that exist in this universe work?
Oh, good point, Mark.
Because like, how else could it in this universe and the constraints they're in? So it's like, it's a little bit of a chicken before the egg because the simulations we make are a computer. And also, it's very egotistical of us to go like, our simulations are as sophisticated as the universe because it's all down to probabilities, which it is, but it is a little bit of a reductionist to say thusly.
So this line of thinking is all going to ultimately culminate in like questioning reality, like down to its very core concepts. Descartes did this, and that's where the phrase "I think, therefore I am" came, because it was like his one thing he could always count on is like, I'm thinking about this. So I'm thinking, therefore I am existing was like his ground level of, okay, I'm real because I am thinking. However, to Mark and the simulation's point, people have brought into question here. He's like, well, he's making another supposition in that statement. He's saying, I think, therefore I am, which could be a translation error, because what people are saying is actually true is thinking is occurring. We don't know what I means in the sentence, I think, therefore I am. We have to figure out what I is. But thinking of some sort is occurring. But is it thinking by us as individuals or is us as part of the simulation, I guess, is the question. But there is an existence, even whether it's simulation or not, to the point that thinking is occurring. So either the simulation or something is having these thoughts and these questions are coming up. That's a ground level to start from.
Absolutely. And I feel like there is something to say about that ground level, because that could be a thing of what Bob was saying. Like it's collapsing the quantum uncertainty of that thought. By thinking about it, you reduce the probability to a certain variable of like, and then you reach a conclusion. So it's like, I could see how philosophically that quote extends, and that's why even if it was mistranslated, I think the statement "I think therefore I am" has a lot of power for people and has a lot of very clear meaning. But we all know that words are just an approximation of thought anyway. You know, we weren't born with words. Most animals that exist in life don't have words, they have thoughts, but most have thoughts. In a large scheme, would it change something if it was a simulation? Like, would it, it would change people's perspectives, but on a me level, like if it was a simulation or not, doesn't have much sway in terms of like, this is pointless because it's a simulation. And I'm like, well, if you look at it, like, no one really can nail down the meaning of life anyway. Everyone has their own definitions, or maybe they don't have a definition, but some people have a definition. But it, like, even if it was a simulation, it's kind of the same thing as being religious, right? Because you have like this all-powerful designer or whatever, the computer that establishes the sandbox of which you live. There's no difference between that and the concept of religion or not believing it at all, because it doesn't change the fact that your interaction with the world is established by rules, and those are the rules that we can understand with physics and, you know, the study of sciences. And even our sciences and even mathematics are an approximation of what reality is. It's like words. Our thoughts are chemical reactions and electrical signals. The physics that we approximate in equations and mathematics and numbers are, they don't know the numbers. It's a translation for meaning's sake. And our words carry that meaning in our interpretation of it. But the interpretation of the universe in a breakdown of mathematical sense doesn't necessarily mean that the reverse is true and the mathematicals prove that. It's that's the approximation. It's unidirectional. It's just to translate an understanding. And I say, like, the definition of the word and what language you speak of it, does it really have an impact on the everyday experience?
I think maybe it does. I think the fact that we don't know, like, you know, we are 99, at least I'm pretty sure I'm not in a simulation. But even if I was, I don't know for sure. No matter what I believe, I don't know. And same with religion. Like, religion is faith-based, right? Like, people say, like, I know God, I've talked to God, but it's a faith thing. Very, maybe someone has seen, talked, like, actually experienced that. Maybe that's a real thing. As someone who's not super religious, I wouldn't rule it out. What's the term for...
Are you saying you're agnostic?
Like, it could be out there, sure. Like, you know, that's fine. But I think there's a difference in that versus a fact of knowledge. If I know I'm in a simulation and I know there's no God, or that God is just the person who made the simulation, like, if I know these things for sure, there's no longer like I get to choose what I believe. It's just that is how it is. So, like, I think humans are really great at rationalizing. I think that we might be raised in a religious family, we might be raised believing we're in a simulation, whether it's so have it, but we kind of pick and choose the parts of it we believe and how we interpret it. So people find comfort in their religion and their beliefs a lot. But I think if we find out that we're in a simulation and God is literally just someone with a wheel that spins, they're like, all right, 30 people are dying today. Your name's on the list. Let's see if you go. And it's like, oh God, please no. That changes the dynamic of our existence quite a bit if we're just waiting for that wheel to spin to see if our ticket gets punched. This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Here's a story that's 100% true. And it's about how accounting is a great choice of career. Here's the facts.
With accounting, you'll have flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets, and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community.
Want to start an exciting new chapter? Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom.
Do more. Live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
You know what I think a lot of it comes down to is simulation has a negative context to it in this phrasing, because simulation suggests, and what people usually know, is fake. And it's weird that I started this with the liquid simulation stuff, and this is spilling over to this.
It is weird. It's because we live in a simulation.
No, that's so strange, because that video that I showed you was streamed 1 hour before I showed it to you.
Oh, really?
That's how recent I saw that.
We were in a recording session 1 hour before.
And the guy that streamed, it's that same guy that saw Mandy in the airport.
But I think instead of simulation, like, simulation is suggesting, like, this is a fake thing that could be deleted and redone. And maybe that is it. But it's like, it's more that this universe is a construct. It's a projection of, like, the idea of what it is like it. But it's still, you know, solid in a way. But as we know in physics, things aren't actually solid because it's the repulsion between atoms that causes these interactions. Or if something's sticky, it's the attraction that actually causes that. So we're not actually touching anything. Even our own atoms aren't often touching because if they did, that would be catastrophic. But maybe simulation has this negative implication, and that way people would feel like it affects their life more. If like, oh God, we're in a simulation, as opposed to, we're part of the great machine. All hail the Omnissiah, you know, like that. You know, those tech priests of Mars, actually, they were onto something about that. Like,
I don't know if I feel like I'm in a simulation, but I also don't know if main character syndrome is the right word for it. But there are times where I feel like I'm like on the Truman Show almost to some extent, because like I've had a pretty darn good life. I really can't complain. But there's always weird things going on. Like, I've got people that are more successful in life, career, whatever, a little bit worse off in some of those areas. But no matter where I'm at in life, there's always just enough like crap going on or drama or weird shit to make things interesting in ways that I wish they weren't. This sounds egotistical, but I think it's just a fact of the matter. I'm kind of like the center of a lot of our friend group. Like, a lot of our friends don't reach out to each other. They're like, Wade, you want to do this thing and invite some people? Or you want to, whether it's career or outside of career. It's like, people just don't get together unless I'm a part of it in a lot of ways. Like, a lot of our friends and stuff. And it's weird to be in that. A lot of the circling around me and then like the weird drama that always happens, it's kind of like there are times where I'll eat something. It's like, oh God, I don't feel so good. I'll go and I'll take like a horrible shit and I'll be sitting there. I'm like, really hope this isn't the Truman Show, because God, this would be a terrible thing to be broadcasting right now. But I have those thoughts randomly where I'm like,
do you ever just like salute the camera just in case it is the Truman Show? I have exactly the internal thing that you're talking about, except I'll be sitting there. I'll be like, where would it would be? It wouldn't be like in the fan or like maybe. And I'll just be like, how's it going?
Or occasionally someone will bring up something, like they'll say something that sounds like it's right out of one of the medicine commercials. Like, dude, if you're having acid reflux, I use this and it's helped me a lot. And it's like, product placement! Product placement!
I think that's just living in a capitalistic society. I'm pretty sure that's just everywhere as it is.
But like, that kind of shit happens and I'm just like, am I a Truman?
If product placement was part of it, that meant that like the companies know about the simulation. They're actively exploiting it to get it into you because you are the main character and they need to have things revolve around you.
Unless it's aliens running the whole show and the companies we have are also part of it and they think they're running a company, but really they're part of the simulation too.
Who's watching then? That's the question. Who's
aliens?
The other aliens, Mark.
Aliens!
Wait, what's the meme? Aliens.
We're the monsters to them. We're the that dinosaur show that was on in the 90s to them.
That Futurama episode where there's a resort where you can go on vacation, but you're actually in a zoo.
Man, I forgot about that dinosaur show because that, not think about that, had some really like, unless it's kid brain, I always remember those costumes are really like well done. Is that?
No, that show was impressively good. It was called Dinosaurs, the sitcom. 4 seasons, ran from 1991 to 1995. No, it was a surprisingly good looking show, considering that was all like practical costumes and puppets and stuff.
Man, I love practical stuff. I just do. So total tangent, of course, but just like I love practical stuff because everyone knows you're watching something. Everyone knows it's not real. So it's like you can suspend the disbelief in being like, yeah, it's talking dinosaurs. Like if it's real, like as much as I was just like, look at this computer simulation of this water. Like sometimes like, yeah, it's like real. But if it's all simulations, none of it's real. But we're digressing back towards the subject we're talking about.
We're simulating things in a simulation at this point. We've come too far. Soon they're going to have to reset us.
All right. So main character syndrome is actually like an interesting perspective on this, because if it is a simulation, then everyone at the same time is their own main character.
Just less so than me.
Exactly, right? No, I mean, literally, because our points of observation are different. And as quantum mechanics states that like observing something collapses. What was it? Am I saying it right? The quantum uncertainty. What was it?
Quantum indeterminacy, I think is what I read, but same idea, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And that observation. So it's that. that observation that gets to understand what that was when it reduces from a probability to a determinate value. This is also, people that don't know, the double slit experiment is the commonly referred to experiment of this, where if it's unobserved, it's a waveform. If you observe it, it turns into two parallel lines, which means the electrons are picking where they're going instead of becoming a probability waveform. But if you are observing it from your perspective, main character Wade, then you are the main character and you see things from that unique perspective. But us also, as our own main characters, see these other things happening from our own perspectives, and they are correct because that's what it reduces down to. So Bob and I are sitting in a Fogo de Chao, and you with your crown and glowing and all these people that orbit around me see 20 people flood in to the Fogo. That suddenly is like, oh, this group got bigger than we thought because main character Wade dragged in here.
Meat competition. The worst. Why would they simulate such a horrible thing?
Look, I don't want to shit on that because those dinners were always fun. But it was just like, oftentimes I paid for it. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things.
Good thing it was all you can eat for one price, because I would have made you go broke.
Man, it happened again. It happened again in a different context. I was in Austin and I texted Anna, who did, you know, hair makeup.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know, but I guess everyone
else. Anna the Artiste on Instagram. Follow her.
And I messaged, and this is not bad towards Anna at all. I messaged Anna and I said, like, hey, I'm in town working on the movie. Was wondering if, like, you wanted to catch up. And she was like, yes. Like, how's it going? Like, we should all get together. And I'm like, sure. Yeah. If you are in contact with any of the crew and anyone's free, like, reach out to some people. We'll get a dinner together. And he's like, okay, I got 16 people to respond. And I went, okay, Fogo it is, because I know they can accommodate large parties.
And those dinners are not cheap. Yeah, I've cost you a lot of money over the years in Fogo. More in meat than much else, probably.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's well worth it to be part of your main character.
Can you imagine if they charged us per meat rather than an all-you-can-eat under one price? What that would have cost you?
Like a conveyor belt sushi, each plate you take of meat is another.
I would want to take a large group to conveyor sushi if they had a way to get more. If it was like during a U shape of the conveyor and we took like four tables in the U and we all just ate there, I would love to see how many plates we could clear. That would be great.
We have a conveyor belt place we've been going to here. It's super fun.
Yeah. They shut one down quite a few years back that I used to go to near here. But I would love to go. Love to get food poisoning.
Bob and I just did Korean barbecue recently. That was really good too.
You can't say it, bulgogi.
I can bulgogi. I can say it now. At the time, it was very confusing.
Pul. Kogi.
Yeah, bulgogi. I said it. Got it. Thanks, Mark.
I thought there was another L, so I kept saying bulgogi or something like that.
You kept saying bulgogi.
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 Yeah, that's it. But if okay, is a conveyor belt sushi an example of like main character syndrome? Because what if someone else takes your sushi that you were going for? That's not very main character.
Well, it's not your sushi until you can see it. You know, that is a tragedy, though. If you're sitting in a row of tables and you're like, there's the one. And then you just see like, and it gets yoinked off the thing. That was my sushi. You're right. That's actually very upsetting to think about. And it has only happened to me once ever. But it.
Well, I always order. I actually don't usually wait because all of it will go. And I don't know how long it's going. I go, bing, ding, boom, ding.
The one we go to has a train that brings it out. It's so cool.
Whoa, you got a train?
There's a bullet train, and there's an Optimus Prime, and then there's a Sphinx train. And they come out, and they stop by your table, and they're like, dear customer, please take your food. The train's on top, and then the conveyor belt of the normal stuff is on the... It's so cool, Mark. And they have robot waiters, Mark. They have robot drinks waiters. They do it.
They play like the Samsung laundry machine sound when they get by. Dun, 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 dun. I went to a Korean barbecue place that had those as well. It is like, oh man, is there a good Korean barbecue place in
the one that we just went to was in Mason, and it had the robot wait. It's pretty good. I would say it's like a good like standard level. It's not like
I gotta move back to Ohio.
I will say Molly said that her favorite one was the one we went to in LA.
I don't think Ohio Korean barbecue holds much of a flame to real like West Coast Korean. It's hard to compete.
I really hope it's still there, but my mom used to go to this Korean barbecue place that was actually down in Kentucky on the way down. Like if you take the road, it's 75 going down towards,
they merge 71-75 once you get into Kentucky.
71-75, you go down a good ways, like past or near the exit to the airport when you take 275 again. I always forget how big 275 actually is.
Down near Florence, y'all.
Yeah, near Florence, y'all. There's a place there. It might have like COVID. I don't know if it's still there, but I used to go there all the time. And my mom basically kept that place in business because she would go there and, you know. But anyway, simulation.
Right.
So I don't know anything about the actual physics of this, but I looked up some stuff, and apparently theoretical physics suggests that space and time in our universe might be quantized, which is to say essentially composed of discrete units. So like how pixels on a screen would be like a quantized grid, right? Each pixel, they're spaced, they have coordinates. So you would think in our universe, like things just move. They're fluid dynamics. Air moves, water moves, everything is. But at some level, probably a very small, I mean, at the quantum level, who knows? There is a quantized grid on which our universe rests, which is a very simulation-y thing to have. Why in a world where everything can move freely and there are forces like gravity and the strong force and the weak force and all this crap that physics has that I barely comprehend, why would there be a quantized grid for space and or time or space-time or whatever it may technically be?
Spoilers incoming for the video game Soma. It's because we're in the end game and the battery's running out. So things are starting to fall apart a little bit and the loading's not going as well. There's no engineers to repair it. We are just what's left. And as long as it lasts until one day the batteries go out, aka the sun.
Well, okay, in a cosmic sense, I don't think we're anywhere close to the end game if the current understanding of how the universe is going to age approaches. I think we're many, 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 many trillions of years away.
That's part of the simulation. We believe that, but we don't really know because they don't want us to think it's close. It's all part of it.
Actually, that reminded me of something. I think it was in a Kurtz Kazak video that talked about this. But the energy level of the universe, like closer to the Big Bang, like 4 billion years after.
What's the scouter say about its energy level?
The temperature, it was comfortable. So like space right now, obviously very cold, right? It's extremely cold.
You just mean like the space in general, it was like a human-ish range of temperature?
Yep. Basically like Earth upon one point. But, you know, there's actually like new observations coming out with the James Webb Telescope that are questioning like some things about the Big Bang, like there's galaxies they're observing that shouldn't exist based on current models. I don't know what the current science is. This is all from a video from Kurtz Kazak. Great channel, but you know, they're just making research entertaining and they're simplifying things.
Yeah, it's like entertainment, pop science-y, not to downplay it. Kurtz Kazak's very cool. It's not hardcore science. It's not like academic papers or something. It's like very entertaining.
But there was a time, based on our current understanding, that the universe was of a temperature that water was liquid, essentially. Everywhere and didn't need to be on a planet to be liquid and an ocean as we understand it. There could have been floating pockets of water the size of like a solar system, possibly because oxygen and hydrogen would have been prevalent. When they combust, they create water. And at a temperature, water is liquid. And it might have lasted long enough in that state to cultivate life. Life
finds a way.
As we kind of know, it is really stubborn. It really likes to live wherever.
I could say it finds a way.
Exactly. There's,
I said that.
It finds a way. And there's an idea that like Earth, like life may not have started on Earth. Earth may have been seeded with life from fragments from this time period. I think that's,
we're pod people.
Sure. What does pod people mean?
There's like a pod that landed on Earth and we emerged from it.
I don't think that's what that traditionally means, but sure.
No. It was some big pasty dude drank some black goo and he dissolved into life.
Whenever you open up like a green bean, we were the things in there that make other green beans.
We were the three green beans in that pod. Anyway, the reason I say that is like, so we're not even young on Earth, if that's the case. But also Earth is like 4 billion years old. And I don't remember what my point was. Oh, I remember the common unit of things. So, OK, so energy states, what if like the basic unit of, you know, quantization of the universe is just whatever the current lowest level of vibration is. Because the string theory is like, it's like there's some kind of vibrating ring at the base and that's like the fundamental block. I know that that probably isn't the current method of thinking. If that quantization could be something, maybe it's something that changes over time based on whatever the lowest level energy is. Something like that. So the vibration is that unit of quantization of like each period of the harmonic series of that. Is like a unit.
My brain doesn't fully load string theory. I never recall what exactly it means, but what I always picture is Caterpie, the Pokemon, when it like comes all over everybody and like
whenever
it,
what?
Say it again.
Comes all over everyone.
What Pokemon were you watching?
The Misty Files. That's always what I picture is Caterpie when it's like I hear string theory, because I think the move is called string shot in Pokemon when you're playing Pokemon. So I hear string theory. I'm like, dude, string shot, lower their speed.
Also, I know anyone that actually knows string theory just like internally groaned when I gave my horrible reference to it. And anything I was saying, I don't know the science at all. I'm just throwing something out there for the simulation.
Maybe ChatGPT can explain string theory in 3 sentences.
I'll get it.
I got it already. Oh, they're long sentences. That seems like cheating.
That's cheating!
All right, string theory is a theoretical framework in physics that posits that the fundamental constituents of the universe are not point particles, but rather tiny vibrating strings. These strings can oscillate at different frequencies, and their vibrations are thought to correspond to various particles and forces, offering a potential unification of quantum mechanics and general relativity, period. By proposing extra dimensions beyond the familiar 3 spatial dimensions and time, string theory aims to provide a comprehensive theory of everything, explaining all fundamental forces and forms of matter.
There you have it.
So there are little strings that vibrate at different frequencies, and the different whatever vibration frequency the string has dictates if it's some quantum particle or another, or some creates some force in the universe or whatever.
Kind of like whether or not Caterpie just slows you down or turns itself into Metapod.
Exactly. And that's why nothing I said was actually a profound thought. All I did was say, like, what if string theory?
Oh, Mark, you're running out of space here. You got too many zingers.
Me too, right?
Yeah.
I think I proved quantization.
Does that mean simulation or no?
I don't know.
Yeah, so you're saying that quantization doesn't tell us definitively if it is or is not a simulation. It just might be.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
Nope. No queen. Nope. Don't do it. Not that.
It is that thing where it's like, okay, real life is, again, a word to define something. Even if this was a simulation, we live in a construct, whatever you want to say it, we're still here and observing and having experiences. And even that is kind of like a ghost in the machine of our minds, where our experiences is a collective result of individual moments, but we don't perceive it as a quantized state. It is a perceptive illusion, no matter which way you look at it. So whether it's we're the simulation inside of our own heads of an actual real universe, or all of this is part of simulation of a greater thing, it still doesn't change the fact that we, no matter what way we look at it, are biological beings with organic meat machines in our head, puppeting a meat body and breathing gaseous oxygen in order to poop out the food we ate to survive. Like, that is the reality of our experience, no matter what is the cause behind it, right? For me, anyway, that's my philosophical statement. Is like, it doesn't matter to me because I still need to move forward because I choose to move forward. And that's kind of like the I think, therefore, I am part of it. But yeah, I'm like, yeah.
I mean, that's fair to accept your own existence, but sometimes it's good to know whether you're a simulation of an anthill, one of those ant farms where it's just like you're stuck between the two panes of glass. You can only really go up and down and barely side to side. Or if we're just out in the field and we can make our anthill however we want. Sometimes we need to know which version of the anthill we have.
I mean, to say that we're in the simulation would suggest that there are other people in the same simulation that aren't in the anthill. Like, I'm like, is our ant farm the simulation, or is there a greater experience?
That poses a question. I want to ask that question. Mark, I like that.
Thank you.
I think we've made some strong empirical arguments one way or the other, who's to say? But let's say we do live in a simulation. Are we the only simulation? Is it a simulation where God or whomever made it and is just sitting up there and watching with their buddies, or we're a TV show or something and we're the thing? Or are we one of 19 trillion other simulations where most of them aren't even human based, or we're the only humans or something?
There's at least one more. Because if there's one thing we've learned from our own simulation, it's that when technology gets involved, porn will be had and done. There is a porn simulation from whatever that alien species is. There's porn AI. They've got weird AI porn simulation dolls. We might be like their day project, but they've also got their recreational simulation.
I take all of this again from Kurtz Kasag videos, like, so I'm going to parrot some things that I don't fully understand. Conceptually, the idea of a simulated universe and also a real one that kind of emulates what we have is not mutually exclusive. The idea that the universe might actually be a higher dimensional black hole that has collapsed and all the information of that universe has fallen into the black hole and then spilled out into this one. And that's actually like each black hole that occurs in this universe creates another sub-universe, and there are higher dimensional ones and stuff like that. That's a horrible way to summarize some really complex science. just to say simulation and multiverse aren't necessarily different things, just different words to describe what might be the same thing. And so, yeah, like there could be other simulations. If there was one simulation, then there is something running the simulation in approximate words that don't actually mean what I want it to mean, but that's what it is. And therefore, there is no reason that there wouldn't be another. There's no reason to believe that there wouldn't be an, if they can do it once, if someone is in control of this and they can do it, why would they not do it again? Or infinite times? Or like, if it occurred out of natural circumstances of just the rules of another higher universe, there's no reason to believe that it wouldn't happen again.
I like that you didn't say it explicitly, but I like that you essentially referenced the black hole information paradox.
That's what it was, yeah.
Thank you.
But according to quantum mechanics, information about the physical state of particles cannot be destroyed. But the theory of general relativity suggests that information entering a black hole is lost to the outside universe as the black hole evaporates through a process called Hawking radiation.
Well, black holes are like Ethernet cables and recycling bins on your computer at the same time. They can spit out new things when you download it, but also you toss that thing in the recycling bin and delete it, all gone.
Well, actually, it's one of those things where in a really, again, and I hate approximating this, but they don't.
That's fine. Steal someone else's work and get credit for it real quick.
I love that. That's our way. But it's like they don't even spit out things that are new. It's something about, it's like particle and antiparticle pairs conjure at the event horizon border and mutually destroy in a way that I couldn't even possibly understand. So it's like the concept of information, like conservation of information and conservation of energy in general, and if every, like everything is E equals MC squared, it's all the same. If I were to take this shotgun microphone with stand and burn it and incinerate it and scatter the ashes to the wind, if someone were able to map accurately down to the most minute level and consider all the environmental factors that occurred during this, technically, they could take all the constituent particles that were from this that got burnt and scattered, bring them back in the exact same way, reverse the chemical reaction of burning and destroying this, and then make this again. Because all this is the same atoms that make up everything else in a different informational state. It is assembled in a different way. The information of its organization is different, and therefore it could be remade and retained. That's how it, I'm gone. I got too close to the truth.
Truth is out there.
So it could be remade no matter what. So its information is not lost. It's just changed. Same with its energy is changed, but it's not lost. But black holes, once it goes in, because of the limits of speed of light and various things of like it goes in there, it will never be able to be reversed. The event horizon of a black hole is you can't come back from it in both a physical sense and also like an informational sense. Nothing going in will come back in the way or be able to be understood, even in a theoretical sense of like it would be impossible for humans to do this with this if I burned and scattered it. But even in a theoretical sense, you can't get those particles back and reassemble them because they are completely gone.
Which is physically impossible.
Yeah, that thing.
But also happens constantly. Anyway, things like that, paradoxes like that, there are other ones that I don't know enough about that one. I barely know anything about other ones. Those are things where the argument for the simulation would basically be, well, that's hitting the edge of what's possible, right? Every theoretical simulation has a limit. We don't run on some mystical computer that is magically able to do anything it wants in existence. There are limits, just like with real human computers, what a phrase, just like with our computers. And so that's why there are always going to be paradoxes is where the rules break down, because there's a limit to what can be simulated, right? And that's the simulation's way of disposing of information. Black hole magically breaks the rules.
I have evidence of that from a human perspective.
Oh, yes?
So you know how like we are always growing and learning and we like evolve over time? There is a part of me that I know that can never grow and evolve, and that's the ability to understand how my feet are shaped to where I won't hit my pinky toe on something. I, on a weekly basis, slam my fucking pinky toe of either foot into something, and I'm never able to grow or learn or change that.
Don't walk around barefoot. Five head.
Can't. That information just, it's gone.
The information was lost in the black hole of your mind.
And not only that, but it's like a corrupted file, because it's happening to Molly now, too.
It's spreading. Oh, God.
So, like, yeah, be careful.
You're the main character, Prion, that's folding everyone into your world.
I'm going to be the reason humans lose their pinky toe. I'm going to start that pandemic of pinky toe-itis.
That's an important toe. You really don't want to lose that toe.
Okay, well, I feel like we really got to the bottom of it. this. I'm feeling way better about my existence. I feel like I have a firm grasp on reality, and I'm not at all questioning the very nature of existence itself. But do either of you have any final offerings in a proffer to try and earn any last minute points, or should we wrap this bad boy up? I mean, we have a great answer.
Sure, I'll throw this, not for points, but just kind of like...
I'll take the points for it. I'll take points.
No, I'll take points if I get... please. All right, fine.
He didn't want them, I'll take them.
Okay, let's say we are in a simulation. Because what really is the difference between saying that, knowing that, believing that, and what we experience? We live in a system, a universe, with rules that we cannot change. We can use the universe in the way that it occurs, but we can't change, as far as we know, the fundamental way that the universe behaves, because it is outside of our control to do so. To do that would be to change the system. If you're in a simulation, you can't really change how it works unless you're Neo, and then you can stab your hand into things, or you're Agent Smith, I guess, and stab your hand into things, make your silver goo go everywhere, and then it becomes another you. So that's possible.
His silver goo is code.
Since there is no real functional difference, it is just like a definition. I would say, sure, we live in the simulation, or whatever word you want to call it, that is the universe.
The same counterpoint as I said earlier is the not knowing is part of what makes existence interesting. I think once you know, it changes the fundamentals. So here's an example for me, like the Civilization games, like Civilization 4, 5, 6. I love playing those games. Starting off, you have where your city is revealed. You build your city, you get some explorers, you go and you like the most fun part of that game for me is exploring the map, finding cities or city states or other people, whatever resources, establishing some of your cities. As soon as the map is fully revealed and everyone's like kind of colonized everything, I'm bored and I quit and I start a new game. I never finish those games. I only get to the exploration phase. And I think that knowing that we're in a simulation or knowing that we're not versus all of this questioning is part of what makes things interesting and fun. It's trying to figure it out and thinking we have the answer and then finding a counterpoint and then having to find a way to rationalize around that or accepting that we're wrong and then moving on. If we're just given the answers, then there's not really much of the learning or the fun part of existence left. Supposing it for the sake of, you know, another thought is fine. But if we actually just knew everything, like, would there be anything that interesting to do?
I think it's interesting. I assume that you would have some philosophy-based arguments or thoughts about this, Wade. But I think it's interesting that that's the angle that you took. Because in all of this, my basic personal belief about this that I think is why this question and other similar-like questions are so important to humanity is that, Mark, you're basically saying, does it matter? Our life is what we perceive. Our world is what we perceive. You have to use what you've got. I think part of it, and I'm not one of these people, but I think there are people who are motivated by the idea of knowing because they want to know if the universe is fair. There, if you are a computer simulation that can be restarted, what are the stakes of your death? I mean, to you, in your first-person experience, it's everything. In the scheme of the universe, if you die and you just get rebooted, like, you know, Westworld style, you just get brought back to life, put right back in your same... The stakes are nothing. There are no stakes. The stakes are created in the idea that each human consciousness is a one-off. That if you die, you are actually gone. Your arrangement of atoms cannot be recreated. Your personal experiences are lost to whomever you told them to and however you might have documented them. And this is part, I think, of religion, too. People want to know, is it really random? How is there so much bad shit? Why did so much bad shit happen to me? Is it random or someone turning the wheel against me or in my favor? Is it a simulation where we're not being touched, or are the people driving the simulation affecting results because they're playing experiments with us? I think people are obsessed with the idea of, and it's a little bit main character-y, am I special or am I just a copy that just keeps getting rebooted and rebooted? And I want to be special. And also, is it fair? Is it actually random chance, or is there a god? Is there a creator? Is there a simulation architect who is screwing me over and or whatever, right? People are obsessed with that because the stakes are different. If it's all fake and if it's simulation, it doesn't affect how it feels to you to die, but it changes the stakes in like a bigger sense that I think humans are obsessed with knowing, right? You want to know your place in the universe as a whole. It's incomprehensible to us, but I think that's why the stakes are so high on this, depending on who you ask and what their worldview is.
This feels like 4 years of philosophical study to dive into.
Yeah, well, right at the end of the episode, I brought teed it up for you.
I think it just ties into exactly what I was already saying and like how I believe in things, because people's definition of fair is different. My definition of fair is the rules are the same for everyone. The circumstances are different, but that's not what fair really is when you're looking at it from a simulation universal level. If a rich man falls from a tall building and they don't have anything, they die. If a poor man falls from a tall building and they don't have a parachute, they die, barring the exceptions of their unique bone structure. Maybe someone, you throw a million people off a roof, 50-story building, one of them's going to survive because that's just statistical probability. Probably someone would.
Or did they get saved?
Because the universe behaves in the way that it does and no one can change the fundamental rules of it, that's my definition of fair, is like no one has access to the back rooms of the universe to be able to turn knobs. That would be unfair.
So you're saying fair in like a physics science sense. When people question fairness, some probably think that way, but I think a lot of it is more so like social fairness, or like they picture life as like an acquisition of resources or comfort or happiness. Like happiness is usually the thing people want. And then what is happiness? Is it physical things? Is it social? Like what is happy? Like another big question. But I think people see like a starting line. They see someone born into like a wealthy family in America versus being born into a war in Africa or something. And it's like, I didn't get the same fair start as someone else. They're starting near the finish line. I'm starting as far from it as you could possibly be. That doesn't seem fair. Whereas what you're saying, sure, like physics and science and all the rules of the universe apply. But I think it's a lot simpler than that. People ask the question of fairness. But then again, like you said, everyone's definition of fairness differs. Maybe it's a combination of all those things to some. Maybe it's something else to other people. Maybe it's a talent or a beauty, whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, but that's what I'm saying is like, if you think individualistically about it, then it's not fair, because of course it's not fair to the person asking the question who are in circumstances that are unfavorable to them. But that's just the perspective of fairness. For the simulation as a whole, in a universal level, the rules are the same in terms of a physical sense. The time and civilization, societal standards that change per person is because the sandbox plays the same for everybody and other people have been playing before you. So that's where unfairness comes in, is because you, when you're born, humanity has existed for a long time and they've moved pieces on the board that you have not, but you are born and you have the ability to move a piece, not all the pieces. And it's like human as a collective experience, it became that way because everyone was moving a piece and the grand game that is life got moved to the point where a random fluctuation put you in your life in an unfavorable position. But just because you start from Australia on the risk board doesn't mean you have to. Well, actually, if you start from Australia and you got Australia from an early game, that's actually a pretty strong start. But
as long as you're not too passive, Australia is a decent start.
But that's, that's what I say, like fair. Yeah, it depends on perspective. But the thing about a fair simulation or universe is that it doesn't have perspective.
Just like with morals, there's different levels. There's individual, there's society, there's global, there's universal. So sure, universally, it's probably fair, but individuals think individually and selfishly. So is it fair to me? That's a different question than is the universe fair? Is it
absolutely
fair to me?
And that's why I, from my perspective, often try to come from it from like I don't want to taint all my perspectives by having such a self-centered, is this fair kind of thing. I want to have, you need a stance. You need to be able to plant your foot so you can pivot.
Come on, Sigma male. It should be all about you.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I don't really mind if it's not, but I'm going to plant my foot and I'm going to move my piece as hard as I can, because me believing in that at least the system is impartial, not the system that we've created, but the system in general is impartial, and I can do what I want with the opportunity I have. Like, I can plant my foot and I can do something. For me, it's more important that I plant my foot and I was like, accept something so that I can move forward. And then as soon as I'm confronted with something that challenges that, all right, figure out a way to judo chop it and use this momentum so I can plant and move forward again. I love change and I love pivoting, but even for someone that loves change and differences, you have to take a stance and then go somewhere with it. You have to stop and then move to change the momentum and hopefully stay moving forward. Not that I always have, but it's like, that's just me, is like, I gotta keep going because that's what I want to do and I choose, therefore I do.
You gonna quote that? You gonna put that on a bumper sticker?
Descartes, step aside. We have Mark Fishbach. I choose, therefore I do. The grounds of all future philosophical discussion.
Well, I feel like all we did just now was get even more answers, and I hope that everyone listening goes back and takes notes, because we basically solved the mysteries of the universe, and it's not a mystery anymore. Now the universe is just known. It is known. I'm going to run through what I wrote down really quickly for each of you, and then I'll tell you how many points that earned you.
You might as well knock me out of the way first. Probably a pretty short list comparatively. I felt like there was a lot of Mark talk in there, so just go ahead and knock mine out.
You caught up a little bit, but we'll... All right, Wade, I'll run down yours. Here's what I wrote underneath Wade's name. Sad Fortnite. Boring kids. Philosophy stuff. Thinking is occurring. Main character, Truman shit. Soma. Caterpie coming. Me too, right? Porn AI universe. Clumsy foot paradox. More philosophy stuff. Wade concedes. Philosophy over. All of that earned you 13 points, Wade.
That was enough for you to win last episode.
Mark, here's what I wrote for you. Physics. Saying the topic in small talk before I even brought it up. Water in quotation marks for some reason. Protecting the sim. Part of it. Question mark. Does it even matter? Korean barbecue. Lowest energy vibration. What if string theory? Black hole paradox. Five head. Universe is incredibly fair. The choosy Dewey.
Why did he get credit for Korean barbecue? Didn't I bring that up? You and I win.
Yeah, but he talked about the place his mom goes, and then, I mean, he is half Korean. What do you want?
I can say bulgogi correctly.
I think as a white man, I should get credit for his half Koreanism. What's the point of imperialism or colonization if I don't get it, the credit?
There we go. I took half a point for Mark, and I gave half a point to Wade. So Wade.
Thank you. I plant my flag on his Korean half.
Wade has 13 and a half points. Mark, all of that has earned you, after the adjustment, 11 and a half points.
Wow.
I honestly don't know how I arrived at that, but that means with 13 and a half points, our winner for today is Wade.
Ah.
What did you think was going to happen? I said the numbers out loud.
Is it because he's the main character and this is his simulation? We're just part of it.
I mean, doesn't Wade have to win the philosophical episodes? Isn't that just how this works?
I was going to bring that up, Bob. You know what points to you for next episode? I'm going to go ahead and mark that down.
Yeah, but he gave me his degree. Oh, I didn't take his degree.
Yeah, you didn't take it. If you had taken the degree, maybe you would have had to have won.
Always take the degree, everyone out there. Always remember.
Degree.
Take degree.
Bob, you got 2 points for next episode. I've already got it written down.
Choosy Dewey is going to go down in the annals of philosophical literature.
I choose, therefore I do, or whatever it was you said. I've already forgotten.
Yes, the Choosy Dewey. That's the summer. That's the grand statement that Mark made. It perfectly summarized.
Yeah, we be do choosing.
How did I lose? That's such a wordsmith.
Well, you didn't. You won. So congratulations, Wade. Give your winner speech.
I got to say, I'm shocked. There were a lot of moments today where you acknowledge things that Mark said, and Mark has a lot of scientific knowledge, and watching Hammeran's science doozies. I think that's the name of the person you mentioned, Hammeran.
Are you talking about Kurzgesagt?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, Hammeran science doozies. Famous YouTube channel, Hammeran science doozies.
My simulation's old. I got some dust on my cartridge that needs to be blown off. This is where that's what I got out of it, was Hammeran science doozy. This is my winner's speech, so it's what I thought. Therefore, it is in my main character story. Hammeran science doozies. But I really thought that Mark had this one with all the science knowledge he brought. Now, granted, I know that I had a head start by just being philosophy. I am philosophy because I took that so long ago. And man, oh man, would this be a fun philosophical discussion. However, I wouldn't have known where to start because there's so many different questions that you have to ask to even know where the discussion can start. The fun and annoying thing about philosophy is you always have to like start by breaking down everything to like basics, and then like you build up from those questions, even though you rarely get answers. But like that process is fun. However, I don't know. I went a different way today, and I'm glad that was appreciated. And hey, you know what? I love boats.
Strong finish. He really brought that one home. Mark, loser speech.
Look, I'm going to somehow spin this to suggest that I chose to lose because I do lose. I did lose, therefore I chizzed.
You chizzed, therefore you didst.
That's it. I called it the chizzy diddy.
Anyway, congratulations to Wade, and more importantly, congratulations to us all for solving the questions of the universe and getting to the bottom of the fact that we do, in fact, live in a simulation or not. Who knows? You can check out Wade at LordMinion777 or Minion777 on the internet. Mark is Mark Blyer. I am MiceKerm. That's the end of the episode. Sorry it was about philosophy. I'm sure the next one will be better. Podcast out.